You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. So this morning, I want to change our focus just a little bit. Instead of Timothy this morning, we're going to come from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica out of Thessalonians. Doesn't deviate too far from the series that we've been in with Timothy, because Timothy is a part of Thessalonians as well. But I'm starting in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 with verse 1. And you'll notice in your bulletin insert, you have there verses 1 through 4, and then it jumps to verse 11. Let's start with verse 1, where Paul introduces in the introduction, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is only fitting, because your faith is increasing abundantly. And the love of each and every one of you toward one another grows even greater. As a result, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Now, the lectionary appointed for today jumps from this place at the end of verse 4 all the way to verse 11, and I'm not sure why the lectionary planners decided to make that leap over verses 5 through 10. And I say that because the verses they skip over are the fundamental reason why the faith and the perseverance that Paul speaks of are so important and necessary, not just for the church in Thessalonica, but also for all churches, the universal church, this one included. And so I'm going to put those verses back in this morning so that you can get the point of Paul's praise to the Thessalonians, for their faith and perseverance. See, Paul says in verse 5, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are indeed suffering. For after all, it is only right for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, along with us, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These people will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified among his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. See, Paul's saying, we're so proud of you. And he's saying that not just to the Thessalonians, he's saying it to all the churches, you included. He says, you're so steady and determined in your faith despite all the hardships, all the hard times that have come upon you. Everywhere we go, Paul says, everyone we meet in the churches all over the known world, we talk to them about you and your faith and your perseverance. Paul says, all of this trouble is a clear sign that God has decided to make you fit for the kingdom. You're suffering now, but justice is on the way. when the Master Jesus appears out of heaven in a blaze of fire with his strong angels, he'll even up the score by settling accounts with those who gave you such a hard time. His coming will be the break that you've all been waiting for. Those who refuse to know God and refuse to obey the gospel message will pay for what they've done. Eternal exile from the presence of the Master and his splendid power will be their sentence. But on that very same day, Paul says, when Jesus comes, he will be exalted by his followers and celebrated by all who believe. And all because you have believed what you have been told. And so then Paul jumps to verse 11. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will consider you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith and power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, in accordance with the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul's saying, because we know that this extraordinary day is ahead of us, we pray for you all the time. We pray that our God will make you fit for what he's called you to be. Pray that he'll fill you with good ideas and acts of faith with his own energy, not your energy, his energy, so that it all amounts to something. See, when we set out on things on our own design for our own purposes, even if they succeed in our minds, they aren't up to anything. They don't amount to anything. If we're not doing God's work for his purpose, we're doing nothing. And so we have to be careful when we set out on a new endeavor that we have spent time in prayer and that we are looking to what God is doing in the world, not what we think he should be doing. There's a distinction there, and it's an important distinction. Paul says, if your life honors the name of Jesus, he will honor you. Everything we do should honor Jesus. Paul says grace is behind and through all of this, everything that I'm talking about. Our God gives himself freely. Jesus gives himself freely. And the point of all this free giving from the Father and the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you is to make you and me worthy of his calling on our lives. You see, he makes us worthy to take up the ministry and the mission of reconciliation and redemption. Jesus makes us worthy. I mean, if you were only to take one point out of this whole sermon this morning, that would be the one. Everybody say together, Jesus makes us worthy. Jesus makes us worthy. You see, that's the important thing. It's not about what we've done or what we do. It's all about what he did. And our proclamation and acknowledgement of that is what gives his word power in the world. As you know, we've been discussing the end times in our weekly Bible study sessions for the past 4 weeks now. And those middle verses that I've added back into our epistle for this morning are all about those end times. It's an eschatological discussion. That's a big fancy word that just means we're talking about end times theology. It's a discussion by the Apostle Paul about the end times when Jesus will return as the righteous judge appointed by God the Father to render judgment on the people, all people, those that believe and those that don't believe. Everybody is judged based on what they believe and who they know. Those who choose Christ will be judged. Those who reject Christ will be judged. Those who follow Jesus will be judged. Those that choose to go their own way will be judged. The nature of God is that he is holy and just, perfectly holy and perfectly just. And as that is his nature, he cannot abide sin. He cannot accept sin because he can't change his nature. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God does not change. He does not change his nature. So because of that, he imposes judgment against those whose actions are contrary to his nature and for those who align with his nature. I'm all about simple this morning. God punishes the unrighteous evildoer, and he rewards the righteous, those that have put aside their unrighteousness by taking on the righteousness of Christ instead. Right? Here's the key point. The acceptance of the apostolic gospel that separates the church from those who do not obey the gospel is the thing that creates this stark contrast between the fate of believers over against that of unbelievers. As Melody was saying in the children's sermon, the church has put on new clothes, the clothes of the righteousness of God, and the unbelievers don't have those clothes. The clothes make all the difference. Again, we're about simple this morning. Those who are believers enjoy the inevitable day that Jesus returns. They will enjoy that day, while those who are unbelievers will suffer the wrath of God as a consequence of Jesus the judge passing judgment against them for their rejection of all that is good and true and holy. That's about as simply as it can be put. Either you're for him or you're against him. Right? Now, the other thing that we've been talking about in Bible study is this idea of the victorious church. The victorious church. The church, in the end, reaps the benefits of being the conquerors. They reap the benefits of the perseverance and the faith that they have kept while they endured all that was thrown against them. And because we're still here, because we're gathered inside this building as the church this morning, we can see that is evidence, that is proof positive that the church has overcome 2,000 plus years of persecution and oppression. The gates of hell have not prevailed against the church. Otherwise, we'd be doing something else this morning. The defeated unrighteous reap the punishment, while the victorious church reaps the benefits. The victorious church reaps the benefits of having been true to the faith, and the defeated unrighteous reap the punishment of total separation from the peace, the light, the comfort, the goodness for all eternity of God. It's a terrible, desolate existence with no relief from the torment ever. I'm here to tell you this morning, friends, we do not want that to be the future for our friends, our family, or our loved ones. We don't want that for anyone, but most especially those that revolve in our inner circles. And so we have a mission, you and I, this morning, to know Christ and to make Christ known in this community of shepherd and beyond, to make disciples of Jesus Christ who worship passionately, who love extravagantly, who witness boldly, and who spread scriptural holiness across the globe. That's our mission. And we begin at home with those in our family. And then we move to our extended family and our friends and our acquaintances and so on, until we have done our part, the mission and ministry that we have been given as the church, to make those disciples, to present the gospel so that they can make good choices about their eternal future. See, when we yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit, when we submit our will to His greater will, then He equips us for the mission. He guides us in our purpose. He makes us worthy of His calling on our lives so that His will is done on earth just as it is done in heaven. Does that make sense? Do you have a good understanding of your mission and your purpose, your ministry this morning? Do you have someone in the back of your mind that you can move to the front of your mind that needs Jesus and just needs you to extend a kind word, a compassionate word to them and say, you know, I know you're going through stuff like I go through stuff. Did you know that Jesus is there for you? That He loves you and cares for you? And because I love you, I want that for you. I want you to be with me in heaven. Would you consider sitting down with me over a cup of coffee and talking about what that eternal future looks like? Can we have those conversations? We need to be having those conversations. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.